list goes on. So,
Are you going to do the whole thing?
No, I don't know what it is. I can't remember. It's been so damn long, Jimmy. It's been 5 months. It's been like four or five months since we did this.
Over 4 months. I know.
Jesus,
I know.
Man.
I missed my studio. So the first thing I want to do is think of my little setup
in here. They can't see it all. It's pretty basic, but I've got some nice blue walls. I've got Kentucky and a thing of maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
My first mic that I ever used. And quite frankly, like over there, I've got the DVD set up that used to be in my background. I've got my couch over there, monitor. And then up here, way up here, I've got the big flat screen TV. It's a lot better for me. A lot nicer and brighter in here, too.
It makes it look bigger, too. It makes it look like you're...
This room is much bigger. I am right in the middle of the floor right now.
Did you get a new chair?
Yes, I did. So I have my old chair right there, and I had like a Serta, Executive, all that, and it's really soft. But I've had spine issues for a long time. A lot of people don't know. I broke a vertebrae about 10 years ago, and I was misdiagnosed, and I didn't know. It healed up, and the scar tissue pressed down on a nerve that runs down my arm. So for quite a while, I couldn't feel two fingers.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a pretty rough neck injury. Like, it still gives me a lot of trouble today. It's why I don't train MMA. But in those chairs, they're so comfortable, you just kind of sink down. And before you know it, you're like this, and you're messing up your neck because your neck's right here. Your stomach's out. And my posture.
I'm sorry, your stomach's out? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
your stomach's like, out?
Yeah, your body is like three different directions, and it fucks with your posture. And if you fuck with your posture, you're going to have spinal issues. So everybody said, get a gaming chair. So I got a damn gaming chair, and it has actually done incredibly well for me.
Really?
Got it last week. Yeah.
It looks like a gaming chair. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I want to do is I want to actually talk about some positive things in WWE because, you know, I tend to shit on WWE a lot, especially when it comes to their storylines because their storylines are mostly trash.
Yes.
but their in-ring is usually pretty decent. And so this time I wanted to look for things about the product that I actually like so that I'm not, you know, a negative Nancy all the time. So I want to say first, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, I love the potential of that program.
I do too.
Once again, because creative is what it is, Monday was shit with them doing two pull-aparts when they could have gotten that done in one segment instead of wasting two. But whatever. I like the idea of the program. It's also not as predictable as Nia Jax's typical programs because yes. Shayna Baszler is somebody that can keep up with her and can match her. So I'm interested in that. That's kind of cool. I also really like the Hurt Business a lot. I think that MVP has done a fantastic job. I read that he's negotiating a long-term deal. I think he's done a great job. I think that the art of the manager is lost in WWE and that he's a great guy to come back. And he reminds me of Bobby Heenan. He can get in the ring if he needs to, but otherwise he's a manager. I really like that. I think that they need some young blood. And I know there have been rumors about kind of, you know, reforming the Nation of Domination. I would love to see Apollo Crews join the Hurt Business. I would love to see Cedric Alexander join the Hurt Business. You know, get some young blood in there, but I really like the idea. And as a matter of fact, I'm all for a return of factions. Zelina's Vegas group, why don't you have Humberto turn heel and join them? He's not doing anything.
I agree. I think that WWE should be trios-based and faction-based right now. It opens up a lot more opportunities. You've got a lot more stuff there. Even if somebody's just out there standing around with other people, look at all the teams in AEW and the factions in AEW. Even if they're not wrestling on the show, you see them and you know they're a part of something, so they're doing something and it makes sense. And if somebody's not in a faction, well, then it kind of makes a little bit more sense why they don't have any friends helping them when they get their asses kicked.
Right.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. And I know AEW has gotten criticism because they keep on using all of these ex-WWE people to be managers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Taz now and Vicky Guerrero. In a landscape with no fans, it's hard for guys to get over and it's hard to determine who's getting over. And so I think if you can utilize Taz to help Brian Cage, because it's going to be harder to get over without a crowd, if you can utilize Vicky Guerrero to help Nyla Rose, I'm okay with that. I don't want to see a whole roster of ex-WWE people managing everybody once the crowds are back. But until then, I think that people, the guys need help to get over, because they're in a very tough spot trying to elicit a reaction, or elicit's not the right word, solicit a reaction.
No, elicit when, a reaction is the right term.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. I guess solicit, I prefer solicit because.
I guess solicit would be like if they went out and said, hey, listen, please react to me and I will
I
pay you money.
I was thinking like sales based.
Yes.
But you know,
I
kind of the same thing.
I will pay you to react to me.
But I really like that stuff. And then something else that I really like is the potential of Big E having a singles run.
Yes.
They're teasing now he's going to get a singles run. Kofi Kingston's out for a while, supposedly. Xavier Woods, we know, is out for a while. I want to see a Big E singles run. And I got to say, the Royal Rumble, I was very disappointed that when Big E's number came up and Brock Lesnar's in the ring by himself, that we didn't get to see that one-on-one. They had Big E go, you know, corral his friends from the floor like a coward, really, and then go in on Brock one-on-three. I would have loved to see him go one-on-one with Brock, and so maybe now we might get that opportunity. And I realize, well, Brock's in Canada and everything,
yeah.
But sooner or later, they're going to be able to get guys in. And so I would love to see Big E go against a guy like Brock, or even Big E and Bobby Lashley could be interesting.
Yes, there's a lot of opportunity there. I don't even know if Kofi's really hurt. I don't have a damn clue. But I had actually been told early on Friday, hey, we might be seeing a Big E push come soon. And I was like, really? With SmackDown's tag division and the shape that it's in, they're going to do that. And apparently they are, but they got to fix that tag division. That tag division sucks. Right now,
yes.
Otis and Tucker aren't teaming. Miz and Morrison are talk show hosts. The Usos are injured. One of them's injured. Forgotten Sons are literally forgotten. There are no teams on that brand. They got to fix that. But Big E stepping away, I'm like, okay, I don't care how many teams there are right now. Big E as a singles guy, I'm fine with. And I know a lot of people are like, maybe we'll get that split. They don't want to split. They never want to split. People that are close to them say the New Day are never going to split. And to me, I'm okay with that, because that would be the same old formula we've seen. I'm okay with them doing this because it's different. Just because it's what always has been done doesn't mean that it's right. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, well, they put people on AEW Dark. Why should I care about that show? And it's like, well, if you don't care about it, you don't care about it. But just because WWE hasn't cared about their secondary shows doesn't mean that's the case for everybody else. WWE needs to break the formulas, and I think this is a real good opportunity to break formulas.
For sure, so we'll see what happens. SummerSlam, so they've made it official. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton's going to be at the PC again because they can't go anywhere else. Here's my question for you. So right now, both guys are red hot.
Yes.
Randy Orton is the hottest that he's been in several years. Drew McIntyre has, you know, basically carried the Raw brand. He's been one of the guys to carry the Raw brand. Do you think they take the title off of Drew, or do you think that they put him over Orton to elevate him further?
I think they put him over Orton, but they need to build some heels.
Yes.
Badly.
I agree.
They beat Aleister Black unceremoniously and did not mention him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever. And here's the thing. To me, I think you could end up turning Aleister Black heel. Like, he's the one that comes out and saves everybody. Well, all of a sudden, nobody's saving this guy.
Mm.
So why would he, you know, he kicks Humberto in the face. He kicks Rey in the face. He does something like that. Doesn't align himself with Seth, but then he becomes a big heel. But they kind of piss that away because now he got beat and it's whatever. After Orton, I don't know what's there. Lashley again? No thanks. I don't want that. Brock again? No thanks. Don't want to see that. Jinder, I think they had a good 5-6 week story ready with him. He's out for a while. That's unfortunate, but they need the heel factory. They need some more heels there.
Yeah, and I think that we're probably going to see like a 2-3 match program with Drew and Orton because of the lack of heels. They really got to be careful that they don't stifle the momentum of both of them by having them just swap the title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, and when you look at, say, Braun and Bray Wyatt as an example, you know, they're going on now their third match probably, and I'm not interested in that program at all. And so you don't want the same to happen with Drew and Orton. They got to do it right.
Yep.
Impact Wrestling. So they opened the purse strings a little bit. They brought in EC3, they brought in Heath Slater, they brought in Eric Young, Deonna Purrazzo, Gallows, and Anderson. According to Wade Keller, In the first quarter of 2020, they were doing about 147,000 viewers a week on Access TV, and they've seen a 10% increase, at least in last week's show, they did 163,000 viewers on Access TV. I've heard that
– Just so people know, based on the number of homes that Access is in, roughly, if they were in the same number as USA and TNT, that would be around 300,000 viewers a week, based on the math. But they're not, so it's not. But I'm just saying, if you extrapolate that, that's roughly what they'd be doing.
Okay, so I guess my question is, what do you think Impact considers successful? Or do you think that they even use the Access numbers to determine success? Because I think the reason that they're involved with Impact is because they needed the content for the Fight Network.
Exactly.
Right? So do you think that whether they do 163,000 viewers on Access, 147,000, do you think they care one way or the other?
Impact got on basically Ring of Honor's business model over the last few months in that they are owned by the company that broadcasts them. And the company that broadcasts them is just like, well, we need this content. Is it cheaper than what else we'd be going to pay for? Oh, and it's original content. It's hard for me to say because those people won't talk to me. They'll talk to Mike Johnson, but they won't talk to me.
That's because Ed Nordholm knows I was right the whole time. Well, that's why. Pissed off about it.
I think Mike's in there with the ECW boys and some of those early TNA guys. And hey, rightfully so. He's been around for a long time. He's good at what he does. But I can tell you that Ring of Honor wants to make money. That's their thing. I don't know if Impact wants to do that. Because there are some very good wrestlers there making less than $29,000 a year. Yeah. Top, really high up the food chain guys. And they now don't have to pay Tessa Blanchard, Joey Ryan, one of the Crist brothers. Elgin is a little iffy right now, I'm told, on whether or not he's getting paid. But there's a lot of people that, I mean, they're not paying Mahabali Shera. He's out of the country right now. There's a lot of money that's kind of being freed up. But Gallows and Anderson are getting paid really well. EC3's got to be getting paid pretty well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows what they consider a success? Because those viewership numbers cannot be considered a success.
No, and this is why. Like, I saw those numbers and I thought, I mean, that's not something you're going to brag about.
Yeah.
Do 163,000 viewers. I mean, if they want to spin it and say, hey, 10% increase over Q1, cool. Spin it like that. But otherwise, I was just curious about that. The next thing I want to ask you about, Joey Janela.
Yeah.
Does he have a full-time AEW contract?
Yes, he does.
He has a full-time AEW contract. Yes. Huh. So I saw the footage of the match he did with Lio Rush in GCW Homecoming. It was the final match of Lio Rush, supposedly. And during this show, Joey Janela does a ladder spot. I don't even know what the hell that was. He climbed up onto some kind of cement pole or something and jumped off through a table. And the table was on like an outdoor wooden deck.
Yes.
So there wasn't a lot to give to the whole thing. Fortunately, Lio Rush and the table broke his fall a little bit. I watched that and I thought to myself, if I am Tony Khan and if this guy is under full-time contract, I am tearing him to shreds for doing that spot. Then I saw that next month he is doing a match with Brian Myers for WrestlePro.
Yes.
Kurt Hawkins. So, okay, so you did GCW. You're going to do WrestlePro. You're still doing these independents. You're doing crazy high-risk ladder match spots like that. Why? I just don't get it.
They're still allowed to do indies. I don't know. I don't know what the mentality is behind them, but like I know that was a thing that came around at the turn of the year. I was told by Tony Khan that basically they had to see how things flushed out with their TV. They needed to see how in demand these people were going to be. And then when they weren't as much anymore, I think I asked him this literally a week before everything shut down. And then when they kind of saw everything, it made things a little bit more clear in that regard. And I don't know that if he has to sign off on stuff like that, I can try to find out. But that is very interesting. The WrestlePro stuff, actually, he was scheduled to do WrestlePro months ago. Like they do tours of Alaska because there's not much of a wrestling market there. And I know that he was scheduled for that. He and Marco Stunt, but a lot of those guys are allowed to do indies and girls. Britt did one too, I think, a while back. But I agree with you. If I were Tony Khan, I'd be like, what? Unless there was some sort of deal worked out there.
I also think Joey Janela needs to use his head because
he's a very smart guy is the thing. He is very smart and savvy.
He's not that smart because I look at it like this. They're not utilizing him much on Dynamite. And maybe one is reason for the other, for all we know. Maybe Tony Khan doesn't want to feature him in part because he's doing this other stuff and risking injury. I don't know. But if I was Joey Janela, if you get injured, you know, now you're on the shelf for a while kind of thing.
Sure.
I would want to limit my risks. And I'm not telling Joey Janela to call it in. Like, don't phone it in because people are paying money to see you. But maybe if you limit your risks a little bit, maybe that will make AEW want to utilize you more on television. Maybe that'll make them want to invest more into you on television because otherwise they risk investing into you. You get hurt, you're gone. So, like, why would they want to, you know, put you into a program?
I see both sides of it, but also limiting risks is the opposite of what got Joey Janela into AEW.
I know that, but now he's there.
And the Leo Rush match got significant buzz this weekend. Like, that was, quite frankly, it was the only wrestling thing people were talking about this weekend until Okada decided he wanted to do gimmick matches. Like, beside that, that was the only thing people were talking about. I see the good and the bad because you got to protect your main pay. I'm not going to go do a commentary gig where somebody says, okay, yeah, but while you do it, you have to put your fingers on thumbtacks the entire time. No, I got to come here and type for Fightful on Monday.
I would love to see you do that.
Yeah, now you want to. Well,
that'd be amazing.
Well, I did reach into my console and I stuck my finger on a Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling podcast pin that they gave me. It had fallen out of a hoodie and my wife put it back in there and I did that and I was like, God damn you, Sarah Shockey. So I got beef with them now, but
gotta be careful. That could be tetanus.
Could be, especially coming from Marty and Sarah.
Enzo Amore, what do you think about him launching a wrestling school via OnlyFans?
I thought this was going to be about Talking Choppa Mania. You know what? It's gotten a lot of buzz, so good for him. Good for him, whatever. I ain't hating on anybody for doing OnlyFans. Make that money whether you're showing your butt or you're showing your butt by trying to have a wrestling school.
Do you know what he's charging? Because I haven't looked.
Jeremy did a full report on it, basically.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I will look for that on Fightful.com. And the last thing on my list here, so a lot of rumors about the NWA. Billy Corgan has stated that they're not done. Tim Storm, he did an interview, and he said that they're going to be coming back. Obviously, they lost Dave Lagana. And so, have you heard anything about the status of the NWA?
I wouldn't expect anything this year. Some people are trying to get out. Billy Corgan had been very detached from things before this. I mean, in any business, you'll run into some of those people who kind of structure things to where they can't function if they are terminated. And I don't know that that's what Dave Lagana did. But the NWA was very much in a situation where it couldn't function as is without him because he did everything to the point to where you couldn't hire one person to or two people to do all the jobs that he did there. It was very much his vision and his way of doing things. So that's what I've heard. And I've heard some people like Thunder Rosa and Allison Kay that have told me that they're going to continue to stick by what NWA is because of the opportunities it's provided.
Okay. That's all I got for you, buddy. List goes on.
Wow. Almost a 19-minute list goes on. Until next time, guys.
There you go.
We're out.